Welcome to the Sudden Victory Podcast, presented by Wide Right Natty Light. I'm Sam Phillips here with Jacob England, and we are breaking down brackets tonight. We are just a couple days away from the NCAA wrestling tournament kicking off down at Kansas City in Hilton South, T-Mobile Arena, and I am absolutely fired up about it. Jacob, I know you're feeling the same. Any weight in particular that you're just dying to see?
You know, there's a few of them. But I'm just super excited that we got this time to get this podcast off at such a short time. And I'm really excited for you guys to listen, because I think that there's going to be a lot to unfold in these brackets. And what better people to have than myself and Sam?
All right. Yeah, let's get into it. I think for me, 125 is going to be an absolute barn burner because of just the way that weight has been all year. It's a coin toss every match, pretty much from the first round on, which is pretty phenomenal. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, talk about a coin flip. What you think may happen is probably not going to happen. This has been the Wild West of wrestling since day one. And I'm thrilled to see who's going to end up on top of it. I mean, this is legitimately seeding does not matter at this point. You're just thrown into a bracket and hope to God that you make it through.
Yeah, it's already been the craziest weight of all time throughout the season. So I'm sure the national tournament will have some massive upsets in it. So it might be a little bit hard to break down exactly who to expect in this one, but we'll get started. Kyson Terakina gets the 24 seed. He is taking on number 9, Patrick McKee from Minnesota, the Big Ten runner-up. These two have met once before, but I think it's fair to put an asterisk on that one because Pat McKee did pin Kyson Terakina in the All-Star duel last fall. But that actually ended Kyson Terakina's season because he was injured in that match and unable to compete for the rest of the year. So, you know, all things considered, I wouldn't put a lot of stock into that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a lot of stock into that one too. I mean, you don't know when that injury occurred, and you know, that really did probably impact Kyson's wrestling ability, especially at the ending where he got pinned. So kind of throw that one in the trash, and in fact, throw 2024 in the trash. We're starting from day one. That's what I usually call it when you go into tournaments. It's day one now. So, yeah, I mean, Kyson Terakina, McKee's a tough wrestler, but you know what? We've seen Kyson Terakina take on these really, you know, good ranked wrestlers and come up on top of them. So, excited to see where he's been going, especially for the projection that he's been doing, especially in the Big 12 tournament, and see if he can keep that upswing going.
Yeah, I'm looking at common opponents between these two this year. Both of them beat Eric Barnett from Wisconsin. Both of them lost to Drake Ayala from Iowa. But then you get down to Tanner Jordan, and Kyson beat Tanner Jordan from South Dakota State last weekend. Way back in November, Pat McKee lost that match. Pat McKee's always been a really streaky wrestler. In 2021, I believe he lost very first round at NCAAs, came all the way back for third. Lost early again in 2022 and reached All-American status for the second time with a fifth place finish. And then last year reached the round of 16. So as a sixth year senior for the Gophers, he's got a ton of experience in that starting spot at 125. And it's definitely going to be a big challenge for Kyson Terakina. But like we said, you know, it's all about who's wrestling best for those 7 minutes. If Terakino wins, he will likely have the 8-seed Richard Figueroa from Arizona State in the second round, who did not wrestle in the dual meet. Figueroa has started out the year ranked number 2 in the country, but has been way up and down. If Terakino loses, he will likely have Ethan Bergink from Army in the first round on the backside, and then could see another matchup with Eric Barnett from Wisconsin in the second round on the backside. You know, if you lose first round, it's a long path back, especially in this 125-pound bracket, Jacob, to reaching the podium.
Yep. I mean, you've got to really at least get a win or two to really set yourself up for success. If you don't, then like you said, it's just tooth and nail just trying to get to the podium itself, especially in the blood rounds. I mean, that's the hardest part. And, you know, it, for me, especially in that 125 pound weight class, it's such a crapshoot that you don't want to be on that other side or else you could be in big trouble.
Yeah, it's one of those brackets where the backside is not necessarily any easier. It just means more matches that you have to go through to reach the podium and hit that All-American status, because this is the Division I National Tournament. If you are in the top eight at this tournament, you are an All-American. A couple other things as we get going here. This tournament starts on Thursday at 11 a.m. It runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday. All the daytime sessions are on ESPNU or ESPN Plus. The nighttime sessions will be on ESPN or ESPN Plus. So get tuned in for that Thursday.
I would highly recommend going on ESPN Plus because you can do individual mats where ESPNU Absolutely. And ESPN will not do that. Yep. They'll go round the matches, maybe do a multicast, but on ESPN Plus, you can do all eight mats or you can do an individual mat. And I would highly suggest you do that.
Yeah, especially in those early rounds, ESPNU likes to focus on some of the top wrestlers. So, you know, your top four seeds, guys who are going to be making a run in the tournament, building up their storylines for the weekend. That first session for Iowa State will just be first round matches. And that starts at 11 a.m. on Thursday. Second session on Thursday starts at 6 p.m. and you'll have some backside matches and your second round matches on the front side that will make you a quarter finalist if you win both of those on Thursday. Friday morning at 11 a.m., you've got your quarter finals. You win that one and you are guaranteed top six in the country, which is a phenomenal feat. And Iowa State putting guys into the top six is going to be a huge step towards bringing home one of those top three team trophies for the first time since 2010. Friday night is my favorite session of the whole weekend. Favorite wrestling event of the year, every year, is when you have your semifinals going on at the same time as your blood round, which is the round where if you win, you are an All-American. If you lose, your season is over. Maybe your career is over. Just tons of emotion with that one and guys reaching the finals. The team race really takes shape during that round. So that's going to be a really fun one Friday night at 7 p.m. And then Saturday, this thing wraps up. 10 a.m., you have all of your placing matches and your consolation semis. And then at 6 p.m. on ESPN, you'll have your national finals. Just those first second place matches, which are always a phenomenal show on the big stage.
Yeah, I mean, the blood rounds, that's when you talk about giving it your all, like that it's a do or die moment. It's do or done, I more like to say, but those wrestlers are giving it their all and it is one heck of a show. I mean, I think it's almost comparable to the finals, but it's not. It still is, because it's just one of the coolest things to see. When a wrestler that hasn't gone onto the podium yet finally gets to go on there, and they just the pure emotion, raw emotion, it's a pretty cool sight to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Back to 125 real quick. I'm looking at Kyson Tarakina's path to All-American status, and it's tough to predict. I mean, it's not unreasonable if he can string three of his best matches of the year together that he, you know, win those first two, very winnable if he wrestles at the peak of his potential. And that sets him up against likely number one, Braden Davis of Penn State, who is just a true freshman. So those can always go whatever way in the quarterfinals. If he gets sent to the backside, I don't know. I guess going in the first round wouldn't be terrible, because you can beat Army in that second round and then take on Eric Barnett on the backside, who you a very good wrestler, the number 10 seed, but you've got his number the past two times you've wrestled him. And then from there, you just got to wrestle your tail off to win two more matches and get on the podium. But yep. Kyson Tarakina, I'm not super confident in him reaching the podium.
No, but you know, Kyson Tarakina has had some amazing feats that he has done, and he has some low lows. So we're hoping that, you know, Kyson can show up and take part and do what he can do to get as far as he can. And all the rest of the chips will fall on the table when that comes. But I mean, As you saw in the Big 12 tournament, they were all, you know, team first mentality, and that seemed to propel them really high. So I could see all of our team kind of getting that motivation from that.
Yeah, and this is going to be a super tight team race. So even if Tarakina can win two matches, that could be the difference between Iowa State getting a team trophy and not. Going to be super competitive. Penn State, obviously, way out ahead in the team race. But then you've got 10 to 12 teams fighting for those second and third place trophies. So going to be a big one there at 125, just with so much volatility in that weight class. 133, Evan Frost, the redshirt freshman, making his first trip to the national tournament, obviously. And he gets the 8 seed. How do you feel about that, Jacob?
You know, I actually like it and I don't like it at the same time, just because he'll be going against Dayton Fix in the quarters. Dayton Fix is also getting caught up by Evan Frost, as we saw in the Big 12 finals. So, you know, I think Evan Frost, if he can make a good run and hit Dayton Fix on the right side, you know, does all the right things, I really think he might catch him off guard. I could be wrong, but he's looking really good right now.
Yeah, he finished that match really strong in the Big 12 finals. Evan Frost will see Braden Basile from Army in the first round. Iowa State, I believe, has three matchups against Army in the first round, which is a little bit odd. But Army's, you know, they put together a really good program. They take not very high-ranked recruits and turn them into national qualifiers and guys that win matches at the national tournament. They haven't had too many All-Americans recently. And Evan Frost is going to be highly favored here, being the 8 seed, taking on the 25 seed. Basile is a true freshman, and he was a third-place winner at the EIWAs. So won some good matches at his conference tournament. But Evan Frost going to be heavily favored there to move on to the second round, where he will see the winner of Northern Colorado's Dom Serrano and Arizona State's Julian Klebo. That match is a bit of a toss-up in the first round, despite being between the 9 and the 24 seed. Serrano had a nice Big 12 tournament, took third, but Evan Frost majored him. So if that's the matchup we see, I like Evan Frost to move to the quarters. I'm a little bit worried about Julian Klebo just because we didn't get to see that match in the dual meet. Evan Frost didn't compete that weekend. So, you know, just more unknowns.
Yeah, it's the unknown factor on what Evan Frost can do. But in reality, and maybe this is just my optimism coming in, Evan Frost is Evan Frost, and you've seen it all year. That man, two losses came from Dayton Fix and another loss from the CKLV, which, no, that was Dayton Fix as well, wasn't it?
Oh, that was Kyrene from North Carolina State in the finals.
There. Okay, North Carolina State. And then what was the other loss?
Nasir Bailey from Little Rock, who is the seven seed, in this bracket. Yeah. On there at the collegiate duels, which was where Frost got tilted. And really the only match he's been really exposed in this season.
Yeah. So like, I really think that Evan Frost has a really, really good chance to make the podium. I really do believe it, just because of his wrestling style and the way he is just consistent. No matter where he goes and how he wrestles, he has a gas tank that, you know, compares to many others that are just ruthless.
And I think that could be a difference maker for him in this tournament. It's a brutal tournament, wrestling 5-6 matches against the toughest guys in the country. You better have a good gas tank.
Yep. And I guess here's the other thing that I'm going to throw out. He's also a freshman. So if he goes 0-2, I'm not going to be mad at him, because if you looked at Pinero Johnson went 0-2, I believe, or 1-2. In the national tournament, and we knew he was better than that. But them freshman nerves get to you, especially in that NCAA tournament, and seeing those bright lights and knowing that you can be the top 8 in the nation and place and get that medal and finally step on that podium. That could be nerve wracking for him, but I don't see that. I haven't seen that out of him. So you know, I have full confidence in Evan Frost and what his potential is and what he can do. It's just a matter of, you know, stepping on the mat and doing the right thing.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jacob. I think, you know, we saw it happen just last year with Pinero Johnson, but something about Evan Frost and how he really is like the mellow guy on this team makes me think that he won't be as affected by the big environment. At least that's what I'm hoping. I've got Frost, you know, if he wins in the quarters, pulls off the upset over Dayton Fix, throw this all out the window. But if he gets beat in that quarterfinal, then I've got him taking on probably Jacob Van Dee from Nebraska, who's put together a really good season, but Frost would be favored in that matchup. Van Dee didn't place at the CKLV, which Evan Frost took second in. So that gives you an idea of how tough Evan Frost has been this season. But Van Dee's also been very improved in the back half of the season. So I've got Evan Frost reaching the podium. Not sure how high he will climb on that podium, but I've got him at least getting into the top eight.
Yeah, at least in the top eight. I really do believe that he has all the tools and assets to make it make a deep run in this tournament.
Absolutely. 141, Big 12 champion Anthony Echemendia. You know, that was a great performance from him in Tulsa and earned him the 5 seed at the national tournament. He will see Michigan State's Jordan Hamden in the first round. Hamden, of course, coming from the Big 10s. His record is not going to be that good because of, you know, there's some really tough guys in the Big 10 coming in at 21-11. But it's also like, man, this is the type of guy all year long Anthony Echemendia has been just lighting up the scoreboard against.
Yeah, and we need Anthony Echemendia to go and light up the scoreboards again in order for us to secure a spot in the trophy ceremony. We need him big time. He's our money getter, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he could really go on a run here. I like him to win that first round match. Second round, we'll see the winner of Wyatt Hinson from Lock Haven and Josh Edmond from Missouri. Hinson with a really good record, but has not really, I don't even know if he's beaten anyone in the top 20. So I would not be surprised to see Josh Edmond from Missouri, the Big 12 third place wrestler, come out on top in that one. And then you get that Iowa State Missouri second round matchup, which I like Anthony Echemendia in. I don't think he gives up a 7-point throw against Josh Edmond. And even if he does do that again somehow, Edmund just has not had the tank this season to close out matches.
No, and Echemendia has been just lighting it up lately. I mean, I tweeted that out and saw that he liked it. But, I mean, he has really, really, really improved over the last even month with his folk style wrestling. And you guys got to remember, this is, you know, one of very few years that he's folk style wrestled. He's been more of the freestyle Gecko Roman type of guy. So stepping into folk style type of wrestling is a little bit harder to do. It's just like learning a different language almost. Similarities, but yet differences in there. So for him to step in, not only step in, but succeed so well that he won a Big 12 championship and is seated fifth, I call that a huge win for Iowa State.
Yeah, I think so too. I've got Echemendia getting to the quarterfinals and taking on Ryan Jack from North Carolina State. Ryan Jack is a really tough wrestler, has been in that program for a while, has not made the podium, but ACC champion. There's a reason he's got the 4 seed.
Yep. And this would be a very intense match between the two of those. This will be a very, very good matchup if it does happen. Just like the basketball tournament, guys, this tournament is just a crapshoot. There's been going to be some upsets. There's going to be some how did that happen moments, or, you know, I can't believe that happened. So you don't have your brackets all there and expect both Echemendia and Jack to be there right in the quarterfinals. But, I mean, man, there's just such tough wrestling going on.
Yeah, there is. And with the way Echemendia is wrestling, I think he makes the semifinal. And I think he sees the top seed, Jesse Mendez, Big Ten champion there from Ohio State. If he does drop that match, then it could get a little scary, as he will have a rematch with Oklahoma State's Tegan Jameson in the blood round. And Jameson beat him in overtime in Stillwater in that dual meet, Jacob.
Yep. But, you know, like I said, that I think this is a different Etchemendia. He's been confident. I mean, you got to think about it. Cale Happel beat him in the CKLV one time, and all of a sudden Etchemendia beat him twice in a very good matchup. I think Etchemendia is a scary man to be with if he's on your side of the bracket.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think just with how he's wrestling right now, not a lot of guys want to see him, you know, in their draw.
I just wanted to see him to go against Real Woods again. I just didn't think he had the confidence in the beginning of the year like he has now. I think if that was a rematch, Real Woods would see a completely different man.
Yeah, I think that would be a treat for sure. 149, Casey Swiderski gets the 8 seed. So was, I think, 6 or 7 heading into the Big 12 tournament. Drops a little bit for that loss to Jordan Williams, but not too far. He will be taking on number 25, Matt Williams from Army, senior from Army, first time qualifier, I believe. And, you know, just someone that Swiderski is going to be really highly favored over. I actually love Swiderski's draw to get to the quarters. After that, it gets much tougher. Swiderski will likely see Ethan Fernandez from Cornell, the 9 seed, in the second round. And Fernandez is someone who has been wrestling well lately. He won the EIWAs, kind of smashed everybody at EIWAs, but it was a really weak weight out there. And Ethan Fernandez, just before Christmas, got beat by Zach Redding in the dual meet. So I really like Casey Swiderski to beat a guy who our backup 141 pounder beat.
Yeah, I think that it Casey Swiderski is on a warpath, especially after the Big 12 tournament and not exceeding expectations that was put upon him. And he knows that. And like I said last week in his interview, he knew that he put it in the ref's hands and it shouldn't have. And I think that we're going to see an even more intense Casey Swiderski. I mean, heck, with Willie McDougal, when he went against him, I think that was Willie McDougal, yeah, wasn't it?
On the backside.
Last time he went against him, it was a closer match, but this time he just absolutely waylaid him. I mean, put the hammer down on him on that very first match in the morning. And yeah, it was just,
it went from a 7-2 match in the duel to a 19-4 match in the Concy semis at Big 12s.
So I just think that Casey Swiderski has a chip on his shoulder, and rightfully so. And I think that Casey Swiderski, if I was Ridge Lovett, I would hate to go into that quarterfinal round with him. I really would.
So Ridge Lovett, the 1 seed from Nebraska, redshirted last year, but the year before that was a national runner-up at 149 and lost to Yanni Diakmahalis in the finals. This year, he's your Big Ten champion, only has 1 loss on the season, and that's to Kyle Parko, who also beat Casey Swiderski at the CKLV. I think Lovett beat him at CKLV, though, in the finals. No, he beat Henson in the finals. So anyways, Lovett has had a phenomenal season here for the Huskers, and there's a reason he's your 1 seed. He is super good on top. So if Swiderski gets into that quarterfinal, I would expect him to take neutral when it's his choice. I don't think you want to even risk going under Lovett there, but that's going to be a brawl for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is going to be a brawl, but did you watch that CKLV match with Kyle Parko and Casey Swiderski?
Yeah.
That Kyle Parko actually had a lot of respect for Casey Swiderski. I mean, after the match, he patted him on the back and told him good match, you know, and Casey, you know, he has that little fire to him. He kind of was like, okay, that guy bettered me on that match. But at the same time, he pushed Kyle Parko. So don't think that, you know, this is an automatic loss. Because I just really think that Casey Swiderski can really push a guy like Ridge Lovett and possibly upset him. I really do believe so.
Yeah. So if he gets by that, then I love his semifinal matchup. He'll either have Caleb Henson from Virginia Tech, another really good sophomore, or a rematch with Ty Waters, which was a great match in the dual meet against West Virginia. Swiderski coming back in overtime to win that one. If Swiderski drops that quarterfinal match, I think it's going to be Dylan D'Amelio from Ohio State that he sees in the blood round. Could be Jordan Williams from Oklahoma State. But I think it's going
to be. Oh, I would love that. Yeah, I would love that.
Both those matches would be revenge matches. Williams, of course, beat Swiderski in that controversial match at Big 12s. Dylan D'Amelio got out to an early lead, had the first two takedowns, I think, on Swiderski.
Mm-hmm.
At CKLV, Swiderski stormed back, but came up short 13-10. So, you know, two matches where Swiderski wrestled a little bit more like his freshman self, where he didn't wrestle his full pace for a full 7 minutes. And I know, you know, he's been woken up a little bit, and it really seems like he's got it figured out now.
Yep. And you see just glimpses of his freshman year come out, but then they automatically just like he clicks back into where he needs to. And that's if you needed that to happen, this was the time to happen, was at the Big 12 tournament. So I'm glad that happened when it did. Now it's time to go.
Absolutely. 157. This is another bracket that is just going to be complete chaos.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a drafting pool, 125, probably wait to draft. 157 is another one where you probably want to wait to draft because anything can happen here. Ryder Downey is your 5 seed and Cody Chittum is your 14. And we saw how close those guys have been. You know, Cody Chittum getting the 14 seed is kind of rough, but it's, you know, I don't hate his draw.
I don't hate his draw either. I really don't. I think that there's a good path for him to make it a far ways.
Yeah. So Chittum will see Tommy Askey from App State in the first round. They've never wrestled. Askey has been to the tournament a couple times. Solid guy in App State's lineup, but you know, he doesn't wrestle the consistent high-level guys that Chittum has wrestled here in the second half of the season. I like Chittum to get past that one. And then you get a superstar matchup of freshmen who were two of the biggest recruits in the country last year. Cody Chittum, the 14 seed, probably going to see the number 3 seed Meyer Shapiro from Cornell. We, of course, didn't see this in the duel, Jacob, because, as you know, Cornell didn't want to wrestle any of their starters in that duel meet. But this is a super match years in the making, even though the two are just true freshmen.
Yeah. I mean, man, that sucks that we didn't get to wrestle him. I'm really actually irritated because we have a couple matches that we might be going against Cornell, and Cornell just, I'm going to be quite honest with you, pussied out on that situation. I just think that that was just a low blow, but I still think that what I heard from Jacqueline the other week when Cody Chittum went onto that podium and he did not smile whatsoever and he was just mad, I think he's going to be motivated in this tournament. I really do, because he's not satisfied with what happened at Big 12s, and that there's just a lot of unfinished business. So like, I really think that Cody Chittum's going to go on a run. Well, will he place? I don't know, but I think he's going to go for a good run.
Yeah, this is a huge match for the team race here, just already happening on Thursday night. If both these guys take care of business Thursday morning, stylistically, I know people have questions about Meyer Shapiro's pace and his ability to go to deep waters in matches. And if you're that kind of guy, the last person I would want to wrestle is Cody Chittum.
Mm-hmm. That man is, he's not as aggressive as Casey Swiderski, but he is a physical guy, very physical guy. And you could even see it in Downey when they were going into double overtime. Of course, you know, Chittum was tired, but Downey was exhausted. He did not have anything left in the gas tank. So if that tells you anything, Shapiro will be in big trouble if it gets into a very, very tight race.
Yeah, I sure hope so. If Chittum does pull the upset there of the 3 seed, then he would probably see the 6 seed Daniel Cardenas from Stanford in the quarters. Cardenas beat Chittum at the CKLV, but that's because Chittum gave up a pretty stupid 7-point move right off the bat. And I think he's matured a little bit from that since that time. And then a potential semifinal matchup for Cody Chittum would be the 2 seed Ja'Cory Teamer. How did that match go in the dual meet again, Jacob?
Oh, won't you tell me?
I believe Cody Chittum got like 3 takedowns and like 11 minutes of riding time in that one. Just really, he gave up the first takedown, but ever since that, the last 6 minutes of that match was all Cody Chittum over Ja'Cory Teamer. So if Chittum, you know, gets past that, pulls the upset in the second round, I love his path. You know, I would not even stop at saying he's going to be an All-American. I'd say he could reach the finals.
Yeah, no, I mean, if he gets to that point, then all gloves are off at that point.
Absolutely. If he does fall in the second round there to Meyer Shapiro, probably sees Lehigh's Max Bergnola on the backside. I'd like him to win that one. Indiana's Brayton Lee, who is the 11 seed at Indiana as a 6-year senior, spent most of his career at Minnesota, actually, and had some phenomenal matches with David Carr back when Carr was a 157-pounder. So that would be a tough one, but a winnable match for Chittum. And then likely Peyton Robb in the blood round. Peyton Robb, another one of these guys that has been around forever for Nebraska and is just so tough to beat. But late in the season, I feel like Chittum has been the better guy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, just the way he's been wrestling has been unbelievable. I really think that he can have a big run. I don't think that they're giving him enough credit for what he has done. I know that he's lost some really close matches at the beginning of the year. I think the CKLV hurt him a little bit, but as of late, he's been doing phenomenal. And I think that there should be a little bit more respect to his name.
Yeah, for sure. 165. This is one that we certainly have our eyes on. David Carr in his last chance at a second national title for the Cyclones. And we know he's motivated to lift up a team trophy here at the end of the week.
Yeah, I think that he's going to really look at this and dig down deep on what he has to do, because he has Keegan O'Toole ahead of him in the semis. And, you know, but you also look at there's Dean Hamdy, who's the 5th seed that he'll have to go against, and he's no chump either. But I think he's going to be in the semis, and I think it's going to be the last rematch, you know, the 5th and final. You know, you do rock, paper, scissors, and one person, you know, won twice and you won twice, and this is the final one to see who's the better one.
Yeah. I mean, Carter is going to roll in his first one. He's got a kid from George Mason who was not going to qualify, except for he went on a Cinderella run at the MAC tournament to win that conference. Second round, he's either got the 13, Joey Bianchi from Little Rock, who Carr's backup beat in the dual meet. Shout out Connor Hooten. Or Garvin from Stanford, who Carr tech-falled in the Concy semis at CKLV. So looking at bonus points from Carr until the quarters, and then a rematch from that really exciting match up in Humboldt against Dean Hamity. I like Carr. Hamity's got some really fun stuff, but Carr just had an answer for everything that day. I think he gets it done again. And then, of course, Carr O'Toole, part 5 in the semis. I think, Jacob, this really feels like roles reversed from last year, where the matches were closer than people thought. And everyone going into last year was like, oh, it's got to be Carr. It's got to be Carr. This year, that Big 12 finals match, you look at the score and you look at Carr getting ridden out for the last 40 seconds or whatever, and you're like, oh, yeah, of course Keegan O'Toole is going to win. But if that one sequence in the third period goes the other way, if Carr doesn't take a lazy shot in the second period, then it's a completely different match. You know, I'm just not reading too much into that Big 12 final.
No, and I'm not either. I think that he, you know, those two didn't want to give too much away. It looked almost too simple when Carr was giving up that takedown. I know Tool is an extremely good scrambler, and don't get me wrong on that, but it almost looked like Carr was giving up that takedown. I don't know about you, Sam, but it just didn't look like he was fighting all that much, like he usually does. When he gets in those types of moves or attacks, man, he's pretty doggone good. But I just, like people say, you don't know I'm not going to put a bet on it. I wouldn't say that he's going to win, but there's some positivity going on right now. I truly believe that Carr can do this. Well, will he do it? I don't know. But like you said, it's such a close match. And even, you know, Keegan O'Toole just says that guy is tough, you know? So there's never going to be a, that guy is better than the other one. It's like 1A and 1B.
Yeah. Looking at the bottom side of this bracket, it's such a bummer that Carr will only see one of these guys, because I would love to see him wrestle Mitchell Messenbrink, the freshman star for Penn State. And I want to see him get his revenge against Julian Ramirez. So he'll probably only wrestle one of those two, regardless of whether he wins in that semi matchup or if he gets sent to the backside. I think Messenbrink's going to win that. And I think Ramirez is going to be the one going to the backside. So it just depends on Carr, who we get to see him against.
That just makes me so irritated that they wouldn't re-wrestle Ramirez against Carr. I think that was just such a, oh my gosh, just see, this is what affects bracketing. I really think.
This is exactly why they did it.
I think that this should happen throughout the whole entire NCAA, and I hope that any Iowa State coach hears this and brings it out to the committee or whoever the legal branch that's in the NCAA. But if a person, a wrestler, cannot wrestle in that match, that should be a loss to that person and count it as like a seat down or something like that. Because in reality, if David Carr wrestled Julian Ramirez and won that one, he would have been the third seed. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. He would have been the third seed. And now, since Julian Ramirez didn't wrestle, he got the benefit of the doubt. And that, to me, is BS.
Well, that's true that he would have had the third seed. But devil's advocate here, that's assuming that he beats Julian Ramirez. And all we know is that, I mean, I think I'm 90% sure he would. But it didn't happen the first time they wrestled. So Julian Ramirez, I guess, gets that right of refusal. And then flip that around. Would you give Evan Frost a loss to the 24 seed Julian Klebo when he didn't wrestle in the Arizona State duel? Would you give him a loss to the Cal Baptist kid when he didn't wrestle in that duel?
That's the devil's loss
in the West Virginia duel.
I mean, that's the thing. You have to take those into account. So
would you give David Carr a loss to Little Rock because Connor Uten wrestled in that duel, not David Carr?
Right. I mean, I think there's got to be some point.
I think we've done a lot, you know, counting giving Carter Staraki two losses for forfeiting out of or injury defaulting out of his tournament, his Big Ten tournament. I think there's some loopholes that are just dang near impossible to close. So it just makes the matches like the semifinals of CKL be even that much more important.
I mean, what would you do on that type of deal? Because I mean, if you really think about it, there is a problem in that system. Yes, the system is not, no system is going to be perfect. And let me tell you, you go look at the NCAA bracket for basketball and that could already get you fired up and all angry and stuff like that. But if you were into that type of, you know, looking into it, you're a committee member, what would you do in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think they got it right because Carr had he had one opportunity to beat Ramirez and didn't do it. He had one opportunity to beat O'Toole and didn't do it. It's unfortunate, but I think the committee got it right. I just think it's a bad precedent if we are moving guys around that much. And I think reading into docking for those matchups that I listed for Evan Frost, for Anthony Etchemendia, for David Carr against Little Rock.
Right. I totally get it.
It's impossible to fairly say that.
So then I guess, and we can go on after this, but how do you prevent teams such as Cornell to pulling out all their starters and you know perfectly well on what's going on?
yeah, I don't think there's much that can be done with that, which sucks. But about the only thing, and I think we talked about it back when it happened, about the only thing that I think that can be done is not invite them back to those events, because they're not going to put a product out on the mat that you want associated with your event.
Yeah. I mean, that, I guess that's the only way you can do that. And I guess Iowa State kind of needs, if they do that type of stuff, they kind of need to flip the two birds and go, you know what? Screw you. If you don't want to put your product on the mat, then we're not going to even show you our product. I mean, that makes sense too. And it's not that I don't think that Julian Ramirez doesn't deserve it. He does deserve it. But I also think that there is a little bit of swaying the system.
Yeah. Yeah. They're completely gaming the system, but I just think there's nothing we can do about it.
Sure.
At the end of the day, I am 100% confident David Carr will end up on the podium for the fourth time as a Cyclone. And that's just a phenomenal feat. There have only been so many four-time All-Americans in Iowa State history, let alone to do it and bring back the program that he has. So I think it's going to be an awesome weekend to just enjoy watching David Carr wrestle for the last
time. Absolutely.
174, this is going to be a wild one. MJ Gaitan is your 15 seed, and he takes on Ben Pashiak from Army. Pashiak had a pretty good EIWAs, took second there, and actually is ranked above MJ in most of the rankings. You know, despite really, in my opinion, not having that many more good wins than him.
Yeah, I just think that Gaitan has been doing excellent in the past few weeks. Actually, since early January, all these wrestlers have been just really taking off, and MJ Gaitan is one of them. I actually really love this draw compared to the other side of the bracket, which is absolutely insanity at that point. So, yes, you're going to have to go against Kate DeVos, but I actually like that draw from wrestling perspectives. Kate DeVos is, if MJ Gaitan gets through the first round, he gets Kate DeVos, which is most likely going to happen. Kate DeVos is a very stingy wrestler, kind of like a Jared Franek.
He's methodical,
Very methodical, doesn't do a lot of takedowns, he rides like a mother trucker. I mean, just rides a person. But I think that suits well with MJ Gaitan, because I think DeVos will be a little bit uncomfortable with Gaitan's style, especially how it's a little funky and a little different. I think that'll put DeVos in different situations that maybe he hasn't been in a while.
Yeah, I think so too. DeVos did major Gaitan at the CKLV, but like Jacob's been saying, these guys are somehow, you take that team that won the CKLV and they feel like they're leaps and bounds ahead of that.
Yeah, they are leaps and bounds ahead of that. I mean, it's evident on the mat. I don't know what happened after winter break, but it just seemed like the team got together. They really perfected their craft, came back into early January, February, March, and started just making a run.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just going to run through a bunch of scenarios here. Say MJ loses first round. I think he picks up at least one bonus point win, if not two, on the backside. And then we'll probably have number eight, Adam Kemp from Cal Poly. Kemp, I don't know. I don't think he's that solid of an eight seed. Doesn't have too many great wins this year. He kind of jumped up a lot in the rankings when he beat Mako early in the season. And we just saw MJ major Mako. So not all that impressive of a win anymore. That would put him, you know, if he makes a run on the backside after a first round loss, puts MJ in the blood round, probably against either Edmund Ruth or Rocco Welsh, a couple of Big Ten guys. So really tough blood round matchup there.
Mm-hmm. If
MJ wins that first round match, then goes down to Kate DeVos, which is probably the most likely outcome, in my opinion, then he'll probably see Max Mailer from Wisconsin. Mailer got majored by Jared Sima, who got majored by MJ. So I like MJ in that one. And then would probably see a third match, the rubber match against Braden Thompson from Oklahoma State. Those matches have been so close. I don't know what to pick there, but if you do get by Braden Thompson, I think you could see an injured Shane Griffith in the blood round.
Yeah, there's a lot of scenarios that come into play, and you're just hoping that MJ Guyton gets his head on right and makes a deep run and does what he did in the Big 12 tournament and gets a lot of bonus points for us and hopefully makes it on the podium his very first year.
Yeah. And like you said there, Jacob, getting some bonus points would also be huge for the team race. If you really want to get crazy and you're calling the upset in the second round, then MJ's going to see an Ivy League kid, most likely, either Lennox Wolak, the 7 seed, or Nick Uncontrera, the 10 seed. Both those guys have had pretty solid years, but they're beatable guys if MJ's beating guys like Cade DeVos. So if that's the case, then, all bets are off.
Yep. You just hope that MJ gets a little funky like he does, but stays in his fundamental self like he has been the later part of the year, and really gets into it. I really think that MJ Guyton is extremely talented. It just takes a little bit of confidence and a little bit of the craziness that he does, because once 85 to 90% of the time when things get a little bit funky or crazy, he's the top man. He's the man that usually gets on the good position of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Will Feldkamp in on a wild card berth, and we're not sure what strength he's at, but everybody, if you just listen to Will Feldkamp, everybody's a little banged up this time of year. He actually, I think, has one of the tougher draws of all of the Cyclones as far as getting on the podium. It's going to be really difficult for Will Feldkamp, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you start off with wild, you're 33 and 32 wrestling off, and then going against, you're going against Nate Duggan of Princeton, which I that's going to be a tough matchup, but I think Feldkamp had a tough Big 12 tournament. But I really think that Feldkamp can get on the top side of that. But then you got Parker Kekkeisen in the very next round. I mean, talk about rough luck right there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Feldkamp gets by Duggan. He's never seen the guy before, senior from Princeton. I really like Feldkamp's odds in that one, despite being a matchup between your 17 seed Will Feldkamp and your 16 Nate Duggan. But yeah. Oh man, that is just a tough luck to run into Parker Kekkeisen in round two. Parker Kekkeisen, like I said last week, he's the guy I'm most confident in will win the national tournament this year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you get bounced to the backside, and I think who we might see is a Will Feldkamp versus Ryder Rogotsky match. If you have not seen this young kid, Ryder Rogotsky from Ohio State, wrestle yet, it's a lot like Will Feldkamp. He just does exactly what you think shouldn't work and then pins guys in it. So if that happens, I can almost guarantee somebody's getting pinned in that match.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just assume Will Feldkamp gets the win there, moves on, and probably sees Bennett Berge from South Dakota State in the round of 16 on the backside. If Feldkamp's on, I think he can win that match. Berge's just a freshman. Not sure how he's going to perform on this stage. And that sets up a tough blood round match with Bernie Truex from Penn State or Dustin Plott from Oklahoma State. This is just going to be an absolute brawl for Will Feldkamp to try to get onto the podium again.
Yep. It's one of those things where you just hope that he's clicking on all cylinders and gets right after it, because he's been an All-American before. So, he has done it, but this is a very tough draw for him. So he has to have a little bit of luck with him on this one, because these are tough guys. They're extremely tough guys. So I just hope that he's feeling better. But he's also, ready to go, ready for all this tough tournament stuff, because it's going to get really tough.
Yeah, it's going to be all about getting some bonus points on the board for the team race, in my opinion. Yeah, Will Fellcamp, unfortunately, with, in my opinion, the toughest draw of all the Cyclones. 197, I just want to talk about real quick. No Cyclones in the bracket, but this is going to be a fun one. Keep your eyes on Aaron Brooks, of course, going for his fourth NCAA title for Penn State. I know a lot of people are penciling him in as the champion, but I'm calling the upset. I think Trent Hidley from NC State takes him out, shocks the world. This was a really close match when they've wrestled in the past. Hidley looking to be hit, looking to win his first national title. I mean, both these guys are top 10 wrestlers in the world at this weight. So it's definitely something you want to watch.
Yep. This will be penciled in as the finals, like the best of the best. You know, I really think that the fireworks are going to be going off right before the main event, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Then we get to the main event, heavyweight. Younger Bastida starts off his tournament against Bennett Tabor from Minnesota. Should roll through that one. Interesting matchup here in the second round. I think he will see Luis Fernandez from Cornell. And we saw that first last year when Younger Matt bumped up in the dual meet and beat Fernandez in a really close match. This year, it was still pretty close. 6-3 match at the collegiate duels. You know, a lot of the buzz had gone out of the room because of all the ducking from Cornell in that dual meet. So at the national tournament and with the way Younger's been wrestling, I think he can spread the gap there.
Oh, absolutely. He's been only in this weight for what, a year? I think that he's finally acclimated to everything. He's gotten better as time has gone along. And he is hitting on all cylinders right now. I even, you know, tough matchup. But I mean, I just don't think Fernandez has the gas tank that Bastida does. And Bastida's just running on all cylinders at this point.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Still, you know, a pretty tough draw for Bastida. I think he sees Lucas Davison from Michigan in the quarterfinals. You know, it's the quarterfinals. Of course, it's going to be tough. But Davison was just a 5-3 win in the finals of the CKLV for Bastida. So another one of his closer matches on the year. And then get by that, and you are set up for a semifinal against Wyatt Hendrickson from Air Force, which we saw Bastida win that match. Pretty big. It's just a matter of
can you replicate it?
Yeah, exactly. Can you replicate? I don't think he gets back in that same position against Hendrickson where he can put him to his back. But that doesn't mean that I don't think that he can take him down 2 or 3 times. I still think Younger Bastida can do that. I'm a little bit worried about that one, but I think Younger Bastida finds a way to get the win again.
Yeah, and Hendrickson was trying to shoot in on him. I mean, he got the single leg, but yeah. That's like the worst position to be in if you're with Younger Bastida. You want to grab both legs. but Younger was also pretty hesitant on trying to not get underneath Hendrickson, which understandably so. But I think this time, you know, if there's this much on the line, I think both wrestlers are going to be, you know, brawling it out. They're going to want to win this one. Not that they didn't want to win the Big 12 duel or Big 12, sorry, championship, but this is for more. So yeah. Expect a wild match to happen there.
Yeah, I think both guys open it up again. And the presumptive number one at this weight is returning national runner-up Greg Kirkfleet. Kirkfleet, undefeated on the year from Penn State, has some good wins, not as solid of a resume as Bastida, but you know, he's just been consistently a national title contender in this weight class, and Penn State always performs so well at the national tournament. I think Kirkfleet would be the favorite there, but Younger Bastida, just with the way he wrestles and the way he carries himself, is going to make himself a ton of fans this weekend. And then with Penn State, you know, being the villain now, I think everybody in the arena who's not a Penn State fan is going to be cheering for Younger Bastida.
I think that this will be just fireworks happening. I really do. I think that if he makes the finals, and I'm not going to say it's a big if, but if he does make it to the finals, look for it to be just one hell of a match. It's going to be just wild, fun, and entertaining. And it's just like, the perfect scenario to happen for those two to meet up, because I think it's just going to be absolute brawl, absolute, you know, mono e mono, Younger versus Greg. And it's just going to be such a fun match. I really want to see these two, because you know, Younger has been circling this on his calendar.
Yeah, he's been circling it everywhere, putting it out for the world to see. Kirk Fleet is your final boss at heavyweight until Younger Bastida proves he's the final boss.
He wants to get that final boss title right there, and I think he can do it. I really think he can do it. It's going to be a tough go around. I mean, same thing with Greg. I mean, he has to go against Colton Schultz, and Colton Schultz is no, you know, no guy to blink an eye at. I mean, that guy is tough as nails. I mean, Younger Bastida only won 4-1 against him. So you never know what's going to happen in this tournament, but I don't see a lot of other scenarios happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's definitely the most likely outcome. Talking team race, like we said earlier, Penn State's going to run away with this thing. It's just a fact of college wrestling these days. We've been seeing it since October, but for this second trophy, if Iowa State gets 6 All-Americans, I think they are all but a lock for a second or third place trophy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I really like our chances. I especially like them that, I think that our guys out east are not as strong as they used to be, which helps us out tremendously. And then you've got Cornell, which we can have that prove it mode right there, saying, okay, well, we're going to beat your guys and send them in the back bracket first before we go.
Other contenders, you know, based on seeds, NC State is going to be super tough to beat. Iowa's going to be up there. Oklahoma State's going to be up there. Michigan's going to be up there. Arizona State has some guys that can make the finals and compete for a title. They're going to be interesting. They're wrestling a lot better than they were at the time of the dual meet. I got you and I in the top 10. Most places have them in the top 12. Missouri's probably a top 10 team. Ohio State, you know, if they really show out, Ohio State and Nebraska can also compete for a trophy. Lehigh. A lot of people probably don't know Lehigh. It's a small D1 school in Pennsylvania. They get some really good wrestlers, and they've got some national title contenders this year.
Yep. So it's going to be a tight race. It's going to be super tight. So we need our Iowa State wrestlers to, you know, bang out the points, get the bonuses as much as possible, and keep alive throughout the whole entire tournament as much, you know, as long as possible. If you stay alive, you're going to continue giving those points to the good guys, and that's what we want. So, you know, it tough road to hoe, but at the same time, I really liked our chances with Iowa State, especially coming off that championship last week. I think they run with that momentum, get into that tournament, and just start flying.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think they're peaking at the right time, which is something that's been an issue for the Cyclones in the past. I've got Iowa State hitting that 6 All-American outcome. It's going to be really tough. If they get 5, then they still could maybe get one of those top 3 trophies, but they're going to need 5 high All-Americans. I've got Iowa State beating NC State for second by 2.5 points. I think it's going to be a super close race between those teams. And then I've got Iowa and Oklahoma State rounding out the top 5 to make it a really fun team race.
Yeah, it's, to me, it's going to be, like you said, just trying to get those 6 in an All-American status. And I really think that we can get high All-American statuses. I think that we have the guys to do it. It's if they're prepared and if they're ready for this tournament. I think that's the biggest issue that not only Iowa State has, but a lot of other teams have as well, is you get into that tournament and all of a sudden, you know, wrestlers freeze. They just don't have the confidence that they used to. They're going against tough opponents each and every round. It's not like their regular tournament that they did, or Big 10, Big 12, whatever tournament that they had just a couple of weeks ago. I mean, this is the best of the best. So I think that sometimes wrestlers can freeze up and not get that confidence. And like I've been hearing, it's 90% mental and 10% physical. And I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. And that's the other thing that encourages me about this team is, you know, say Anthony Echevarria has a bad day, doesn't reach the podium. They're, you know, maybe Kyson Tarakino picks up the slack. Maybe MJ Gaetan picks up the slack. Maybe Will Felkamp does surprise us and makes a run here at the national tournament. There's just a lot of options for Iowa State. It's not necessarily going to be the six highest seeds that would make the podium in the scenarios that they do win a trophy. You know, you've got some flexibility there. The margins are going to be thin, but there is a little bit there, I think, for Iowa State. This, like we said earlier, action starts on Thursday morning at 11 a.m. You know, check the Twitter, check the Discord. We'll be in there talking wrestling. Get on, talk with us. Going to be a ton of fun this weekend. You've got, you know, one session in the day and one session in the evening for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Anything else to add here, Jacob?
Nope, I really don't. This is the first time I ever, you know, I didn't really have anything to add. But, you know, I guess there's nothing else to add. It's the end of the season. Let's get after it.
Yeah, nothing left to do but win the whole thing.
Yep.
For Jacob England, I'm Sam Phillips. This has been the Sudden Victory Wrestling Podcast presented by Wide Right Natty Light. Thanks for listening.
Go Cyclones.